Hello, I am Dr. Hadley Wilson. I am president of the American College of Cardiology, and I'm happy to talk with you about the ACC 24 meeting here in Atlanta, April 6th through the 8th. It has been a very exciting and energetic meeting. We have noticed a lot of difference from last year and certainly from the pandemic. People are together, they enjoy seeing each other. There's a lot of hugging going on. I don't believe I've seen a mask in the past few days. Everyone seems healthy. It's just very uplifting. If we look at the numbers, we're over 15,000 here in attendance, probably more like 18,000 when we consider all of our industry partners and media and so forth. The actual professionals that are in attendance are over 12,000, and another 1,000 that are on virtual or hybrid. So we don't know what the total numbers will be, but I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out to be close to 20,000. And this is almost like our pre-pandemic levels. So we're very happy that the meeting is going well, and everyone again seems very happy to be with each other. We don't have the fear that we had last year coming back, you know, one of the first times after the pandemic. So having said that, also I think the science has been really great at this meeting, and I was privileged to be the chair of the first late-breaking clinical trials yesterday morning, the very first scientific session. And we had three major trials that were presented for that session. One was called Relieve HF, or heart failure, and it was basically the trial of an interatrial shunt for patients both with heart failure with preserved ejection fraction and also heart failure with reduced ejection fraction. Large groups, both those that received the shunt, which was placed percutaneously from the left to the right atrium, basically a channel or a tube to relieve the volume overload of the left atrium from heart failure and to improve their symptoms and perhaps improve other outcomes like hospitalizations and even perhaps mortality. So what were the results of that trial? So the results actually in the primary endpoint were not significantly different. But when they looked at some pre-specified groups, and perhaps the ones you would also predict might have the greatest gain, they did see that there was improvement in the patients who had reduced ejection fraction, less than 40%, or heart failure as we know it. And those patients did, with combined endpoints, do better, have better outcomes, less, they felt better symptomatically, they had less need for heart failure hospitalizations. And so it's promising in this group to consider that it should be studied further to consider whether or not this shunt can be used in the people that, you know, have heart failure with reduced ejection fraction less than 40%. So that's encouraging. Certainly nothing will be done until there's another trial to prove it in that category. But importantly, even with this invasive procedure, overall it was shown to be safe. So I'm sure there'll be further trials that will be showing some promise in the future. The other one that I would like to mention to you from the late-breaking clinical trial first session was the IMPACT MI trial, which was with one of the SGLT2 inhibitors, empagliflozin, which was being given to patients after acute myocardial infarction. And so we know already, really, the buzz in the last few years has been these SGLT2 inhibitors have been beneficial in heart failure patients. And that's also been shown in both those with preserved ejection fraction as well as those with reduced ejection fraction. So now we're starting to look at these agents in other categories. So what about people who've had a heart attack, acute myocardial infarction? Well, they enrolled patients who, after an acute myocardial infarction, had signs of either heart failure or even just congestion or symptoms of congestion and heart failure. And they were enrolled and they were followed with best maintenance of therapy, medical care in one group versus those that also had the addition of empagliflozin, an SGLT2 inhibitor. And bottom line results were, again, on the primary endpoint, no significant difference. But if you looked at the patients who had more signs and symptoms of heart failure, they did show improvement and had better outcomes, better quality of life, less chance for seeking medical attention. So again, promise that if we can further define patients that are at risk for heart failure after acute myocardial infarction, that we might start to use these SGLT2 inhibitors in this patient category as well. And the third major trial of the three that were presented at the late-breaking clinical trial one was the Aegis II trial, which was the use of apoprotein A1 infusions, which were done on a weekly basis in patients who'd had acute myocardial infarction, and then to look at their cardiovascular outcomes long-term. And indeed, the primary endpoint did not show any significant difference between those who had placebo. But when they looked at a pre-specified category of those who had shown high levels of cholesterol, I think LDLs above 100, those patients did benefit the most with their outcomes long-term with these infusions versus those that already had low cholesterol or LDL levels. So again, the commonality of all three of these studies were that in the primary endpoint, there was really no change with an invasive therapy, with an interatrial shunt, a therapy using an SGLT2 inhibitor after acute myocardial infarction, or again, in the last case, infusion of apolipoprotein A1 infusions, again, after patients with acute myocardial infarction. Except if you looked at the categories where you might think that they might be most helped, indeed, they did show improved outcomes. And those, in the case of the interatrial shunt, were those that had known heart failure with ejection fraction less than 40%. They benefited from the interatrial shunt. Also in the group that had signs of congestion or early heart failure after acute myocardial infarction, in the IMPACT-MI trial, they actually benefited from empagliflozin, the SGLT1 inhibitor. And then finally, the apoprotein A1 infusions were beneficial in those with high cholesterol levels of LDL above 100 long-term after acute myocardial infarction at reducing risk long-term. So again, exciting and also provoking other studies to really find that sweet spot where either this device or these agents could be used long-term to improve care, to reduce outcomes, and perhaps even reduce mortality after heart failure or myocardial infarction. It's my pleasure to talk with you about really the kickoff to ACC 24, and I hope that you will have occasion to come next year when we are also will be in Chicago in April of next year, and look forward to seeing you there. And I hope I have sufficiently intrigued your interest in thinking about coming to these large programs in person safely and to enjoy the connectivity with your colleagues.